Hello, everyone. How are we doing today? Welcome back to another episode of The Banker Next Door. I am your host, Dr. Joe Berquist. Today, I have a very special guest. I am welcoming Mr. Bob White, who is the CEO of First Colonial Community Bank. And I'm very happy to say this is our very first bank CEO interview. And I'm so excited to have Bob on with us. We are going to go through a range of topics today, and I can't wait to get started. So with that, I'm going to bring Bob White in. Bob, how are you doing today, sir?
Doing well, Joe. Thank you. And thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time and coming on and spending a few minutes with me here.
My pleasure.
So I guess we'll jump right into it. So I'd like to start out with a couple of career questions for you here, Bob. So could you just tell us a little bit about your career and kind of how you ended up being the CEO of First Colonial?
Absolutely. Very fortunate. I started in the banking world back in the late 80s. I actually started in this business as a collections person and was very, very fortunate that I've worked for a lot of great companies over the years and certainly with a lot of great leaders and mentors for me personally. But all of my career has been in the financial services or banking space for about 38 years or so.
Okay, very nice. Now, when you started out in collections, like, did you ever spend any time working, like, on the credit side of the bank, doing, as a credit analyst or a credit officer or a lender or anything, any of those kind of roles?
I did not. And I look back on my career and think I was rather fortunate to have started in collections and really learned the business from that perspective. Ultimately, then, building off of that experience and did decide to get down that credit path and then started to work my way into, you know, really understanding credit underwriting and lending over the years.
When was the first time that you kind of really thought that, hey, I really would like to go into a C-suite role, as it were? And you kind of maybe felt like, you know, I've got the chops, I got the talent that I could do that job. I could get in there.
That's a great question, Joe. You know, as I look back on my career, I never, really can say I looked back and said, hey, I deserve to be there or that's where I want to be. It, you know, as I feel very fortunate, I think it just came my way as a result of the things that I learned and ultimately what I was doing when it in fact did present itself. In roughly 2010 is really when it first presented itself.
Nice. Very nice. Okay. So let me switch gears for a second. Let me ask you a couple other questions. So now that you've been the CEO for a little while at First Colonial, what do you like and what do you not like about the role?
Well, I like the people. And I think that's the thing that I like the most. I have a wonderful team. I'm very fortunate to work with a large number of people that are committed and focused, and we all share the same goal, which is to grow the bank successfully and to service our customers and our communities. I think the thing that's, I can't say that I dislike it, maybe what I wasn't ready for was that being a CEO is 24/7, 365. You can never turn it off.
Yeah, and that is a great segue, Bob, because my next thought was going to be, you know, what are the hours like? What's the kind of the stress like of being in that role? I mean, I've been around a lot of people that have been in that job, worked for a lot of people that have been in that job, and I would just say from an outsider's perspective, the people I've seen in that role, they spend a lot of hours, a lot of time doing a lot of things. And it is, you know, there's definitely a good amount of stress that comes along with the job.
Yeah, I think I know myself personally, I put a lot of pressure on myself. I always have. I often talk to other CEOs about how they deal with it. And it's not easy. You know, I know that many that are in the role experience the same challenges. And I think everyone tries to deal with it differently. I try to find my outlets in spending time with the family, playing golf, fishing, some of the things that will distract me from the day to day. But, I think it's also very rewarding, right? I look at it and say all the bad things that happen are I'm accountable for, but I also try to be accountable with others for the good things that happen. So it's a great experience. But I want you to know, you know, it's constantly something that I think about in ways that I can deal with that stress that presents itself at different times.
I gotcha. Okay, so can you tell us a little bit about First Colonial Bank? What's kind of the history, the background of First Colonial?
Yeah, the bank was started back in June of 2000. My predecessor, Jerry Bandmiller, that started the bank. It was after he was with another bank that was acquired, and he decided that he wanted to start another bank again, and he was very successful. He did a great job in starting the bank and continuing to build the bank. We're a very community-focused, full-service commercial bank, full-service community bank. And I would say one of the things that we pride ourselves in is that we've really spent the time and energy around technology so that we can compete with the biggest banks. But we also then try to deliver service that is unlike service that you may receive from a larger institution.
Do you guys have any kind of niches that you look for being in the commercial space, Bob? I mean, any kind of particular businesses or industries that you guys go after or feel like you maybe specialize in a little bit?
We've been focused more on relationship banking, primarily on the C&I side, not unlike a lot of our competitors. I think we, like other institutions, do like and feel that we know the real estate market pretty well. We also like the small business, the SBA lending business as well. But I would say that plus our residential lending capabilities really just complement what we do each day.
Could you give us a little bit of flavor? Like, what's the asset size of the bank? Like, how many branches do you guys have? Like, number of employees, that kind of thing.
Sure, we're about $815 million in assets. We cover southeastern PA and southern New Jersey primarily, but we don't limit ourselves just to those areas. We'd like to think that we can compete in PA, New Jersey, and also we find ourselves from time to time in Delaware. But understand that we're not well known too far outside of the immediate area.
Okay, I got it. But basically, tri-state area. Think tri-state area for sure. Our listeners out there. Okay,
absolutely.
Gotcha. Okay, so all right, couple other questions here. So, do you have? I have done some episodes on the podcast so far where I like to cover a lot of regulatory happenings, like, you know, what's going on right now. One of the groups that I follow a lot, ICBA, the Independent Community Bank Association, they do a great kind of quarterly wrap up of all the kind of regulatory issues going on in the banking business right now. So with that being said, like, do you have, of all the kind of regulatory topics that are out there right now, do you have a hot button issue or something that's kind of, you know, pressing on, you know, on your mind at the moment?
That's a great question. It is a very challenging regulatory environment. We tend to pride ourselves on having a very transparent and open and working relationship with our regulators, and I think that has served us well. Probably one of the biggest challenges right now is really what's happening in the industry. And when you think about the regulators, they're in it as well. The bank failures from last year, Silicon Valley and Signature Bank, I think the focus is to make sure that that doesn't happen again to the extent that they can. So there just tends to be an increased level of focus on any particular topic as a result of, you know, what we're all going through. But no hot button. I respect the regulators. I know they're doing their job. And of course, we try to do our job as well. And then just try to work together as we're assessing, you know, the overall safety and compliance of the institution.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. I did a review of a piece. I don't know if you're familiar with Jack Mulligan. He's one of the editors over at Bank Director. I don't know if you ever gone to like bankdirector.com or checked out their website or anything like that. But Jack Mulligan's been around, you know, the industry a long time, and he kind of wrote a piece about you know, keeping in mind everything that you just said, Bob. Basically, you know, the regulators don't want another disaster on their hands. They really are trying to monitor the things. They've got a lot of concern around commercial real estate right now. But he also said that, like, hey, you got to remember that the regulators, they're just human beings at the end of the day. They've got a job to do. They have to do it. And you have to, you know, you got to work well with them. You got to maintain a good relationship with the regulators. And I just thought it was a fantastic piece. I thought he really did a great job of kind of balancing the two sides and really pointing out that, like, hey, you know, you both need each other. So you got to kind of find a way to work together and live together and, you know, coexist, so to speak. So it was good. Yeah. Good piece. If you ever get a chance to check it out. So with that being said, what do you think are maybe banks, you know, biggest challenge in 2024 with about, you know, another 8 months left in the year here? What do you still think is left on the horizon for banks?
Well, I'm hoping not a lot. But the reality of it is we're all fighting increased funding costs, right? Deposit mm-hmm. costs, right? What's happened in the industry, people having options and the ability to move their money, which is wonderful, by the way, to try to find the greatest yield that they can safely. And I think we've all experienced it. I think we're all now very focused, even more focused than we have been on supporting our clients, making sure that we're servicing them, making sure that we're offering them a very fair return on their monies, and then also making sure that we give them the comfort that we're making the right decisions to best manage the money that they entrust us with from a depository perspective. But increased funding costs is really probably my number one, focal point for the balance of the year, barring anything unexpected.
Gotcha. I know the million-dollar question is always on interest rates. You know, any thoughts on do you think interest rates come down at all the second half of the year?
Well, we did build it into our budget. I would say to you that we were probably more conservative than some. We did anticipate that there would be potentially a rate decrease in the third quarter, and then maybe one perhaps in the fourth quarter. Nobody really knows. I think the news this morning, as it relates to the slow, you know, GDP growth and the potential for true stagflation, assuming that unemployment is going to tick up, and it probably will. I think everyone is anticipating that, you know, from a monetary policy perspective and what the Fed's trying to do is going to work. It is working already, and it will continue to have an impact. What we hope for is that there would be more of an alignment between the fiscal policy and the monetary policy. I don't feel that there's much alignment there. And inflation is running hot, and we have to figure out how we can slow that because the Fed can't do this alone.
Yeah. Oh no, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that, I did an episode on the national debt and I haven't been shy in basically saying how I feel like the fiscal spending's kind of gotten out of control and, you know, the government really needs to reel it in. And I said the same exact thing that you just said, that basically the Fed, they can't do it by themselves. You know, you got monetary policy, you got fiscal policy, and they gotta really work together to combat and tackle these problems. And, you know, if how do you want to say it? You know, if one's working without the other, it's kind of like the old cliche of like a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest. You know, it just doesn't work. You know,
that's what it feels like, Joe. So
yeah. Okay, so now that we got kind of the banking stuff out of the way, I'm going to ask you a couple of. I always like to end with a couple of my favorite questions. So, do you have a favorite business book, and do you have a favorite business-related movie?
Great question. Probably my all-time favorite book is Raving Fans.
Okay.
It's a simple read, but it is so spot on. You know, if we all understand, and I tend to, you know, think about this a lot, maybe more than others. You know, all of my individual experiences, whenever I'm communicating with, you know, with a vendor or a service provider, I always think about my experience, and I think about, was it a good experience? Was it a bad experience? You know, would I go back? You know, and I try to share with the team, you know, the importance of that impression, that experience that our customers have with us. And we certainly never want to let them down. And we want them to tell everybody all the great things that we do at First Colonial. Yesterday, believe it or not, we actually did a little internal session and we used the six thinking hats as a means by which to kind of walk through a little exercise. And I thought that was really time well spent. And I think it gave the managers that participated a real good perspective on, you know, on the six hats. So that was a good experience and a good book. Movies, I'm just not a movie person. And I was thinking about, you know, business movies and, you know, people would say, have you seen, The Wolf on Wall Street? Trading Places is a business oriented movie that I can think of that I enjoyed a long time ago, but I just don't watch many movies.
No, I hear you. I love to ask the question because, one of the things I found, like for me, the movie for me as a kid that had kind of a profound impact on me was Wall Street with Michael Douglas. There was just something about, even though, you know, I saw that for the first time as a kid when I was probably like, you know, 9 or 10 years old, but that there was just something about it that had just such a profound effect on me. And it wasn't that I was running around like, oh, you know, greed is good. And, you know, you got to steal from everybody and all this, you know, kind of more the shadier side of things. But it was just the business aspect of the movie that really caught me. And it was something that I said, like, wow, like I really love business. Like, I definitely want to be like in the business world when I grow up. And that was something that just kind of captured my imagination as a kid. And that's why I like to ask that question. Cause I've heard other people say, what am I thinking of with, It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart, where, you know, he plays a banker. And, you know, I've heard people say that like that movie had a profound effect on them as a kid and made them want to get into like the banking business and things like that. And so, I just find it an interesting question because some people will point out a movie for like educational purposes. Some people will point it out because for a personal reason. Other people will point something out just because it's something that relates to maybe like, you know, some aspect of their company or their, you know, career that they really liked, you know, but I like it, but I absolutely, I love the book recommendation, Bob. I can remember reading that book and going over the six hats, gosh, probably 10 or 12 years ago. I remember the CEO I was working for at the time, we read the book and we did the whole exercise and everything. And it really was a great fun exercise and I really enjoyed it. So I'm sure your team had a good time with it.
Yeah, I think they did. The feedback that I received, they suggested that they did. And it's just kind of a different way to look at things when you bring a large group of people together. And, you know, we rely heavily on really the management ranks at the company to make sure that we're identifying, you know, opportunities that we need to address and then executing upon them. So I thought they enjoyed it. At least that's the feedback they gave me. But sometimes, Joe, I get the feedback that people want me to hear and not necessarily maybe how they're feeling. But I hope that's not the case.
No, I'm sure it was good. I'm sure it was all good. I'm sure it was all good. Okay, great. Well, again, I thank you for coming on today, Bob. And if anybody was interested in contacting you or the bank, what would be the best way for them to do that?
Great question. Would love to, if anyone has an interest. I give out my cell phone number.
Yes.
610-613-0465. And that is my personal cell. And I do answer it unless I'm actually in a meeting, but very responsive in returning calls. And my email is rwhite@1stcolonial.com. That's rwhite@firstcolonial.com.
Fantastic. And just for all the listeners out there, I will put a link to First Colonial Community Bank in the description below. So if anybody wants to go check the bank out, they'll be able to click on that link and go see all the bank services and products firsthand. So again, I thank you so much for coming on today, Bob. I really appreciate you taking the time to spend a few minutes with us. And I really do hope that you'll come back on again sometime soon.
My pleasure, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. All right, everybody, that was Bob White with First Colonial Community Bank, and we really appreciate him coming on and, like I said, being our very first CEO interview here on the podcast, and it was an absolute pleasure having him. We covered a lot of ground and a lot of different topics there throughout the interview. So, I would just tell everybody, just remember, we are on YouTube, Rumble, and all major podcast platforms. Please make sure to go check out the bankernextdoor.com. And if you did like the video, make sure to like, share, and subscribe. That always helps the channel. And I will be back again real soon with more interviews and obviously a lot of news in the banking world coming up. A lot of things going on right now. So, but be back and talk to everybody again real soon. Thanks a lot.